Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got an on
the option? No,
oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I'm Connor.
And I'm Dylan. And here we are.
Here we are. Okay, wait. So we were talking about this earlier today. Demi Lovato, who it was announced she will be performing at the Grammy Awards.
Okay.
Which this is recorded before the Grammys. I don't know when this is going to air, but I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah, Demi.
You know, what she'll be doing. But this is, of course, her first musical performance since I believe she had an overdose in 2018, which is so sad. We love Demi.
Demi's one of our queens.
But I'm honestly shaking thinking about what she might be doing at the Grammys, because I think it'll be a new song. I think it'll be a ballad.
You don't think it'll be like the In Memoriam section or something like that?
No, I think she's gonna do like a new performance. I know. Who we love.
We do. We especially love her self-titled album, Demi.
Yes, we do. I think that her new album, which is rumored to be coming in the first half of 2020, will kind of be about the last year and a half of her life with all of her struggles. I think she's just so real, you know?
Everything beyond that YouTube documentary.
Oh my God.
That was out there. Did you see the documentary?
Oh my God. Iconic. Wait, what was it called again?
I don't know, but it was like sponsored.
Simply Complicated. It was crazy.
It was really raw. It was way more raw than Gaga's 5'2", which
honestly,
was good.
It was.
Which was also good.
Yeah.
But, the best part is when she's singing the runs to You Don't Do It For Me Anymore.
Yeah.
And she keeps having to do them over and over again to make sure the vibrato is consistent.
Yeah. That's like such a quote. She's like, I just want to make sure the vibrato is consistent. Like, I love her.
A legend. We support her. We wish her all the best. And I can't wait to see what she does.
Wait, the end of that documentary, though, when they sort of choose to end it with a montage of fans singing Stone Cold.
A troubling choice.
I know, it's so weird.
But the choice was made and they had to stick to it.
Yeah, but I think that she is going to release a new ballad, I think, at the Grammys.
I'm a ballad queen,
also,
so I want that.
Wait, I know I'm the only person who still watches Will and Grace.
Not the only.
There might be more. Yeah. I mean, this isn't a spoiler. Maybe this is a spoiler for the current season, but she's on it. Demi's acting again.
I love to see
it. And she's super natural. I was like watching her on it and I was like, you know what? She has been doing this for so long.
What's her role?
She, mild spoiler.
Okay.
But she plays Will. Will chooses that he wants to have a kid. So she's going to be like his surrogate.
Okay.
Mom. And she plays a cam girl.
Modern.
Very modern. Oh my God. It's very Cat from Euphoria.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
That's so in right now, I guess. Cam girls. We support.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, and she's so good, because I was thinking, like, she was on all these Disney shows, and she's good. She was also on Glee.
She was on Glee?
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I cannot remember what her character's name was, but I feel like it was Danielle.
Did it seem like a Danielle?
Well, she's Demi, Danielle. She worked at, like, an Ellen Stardust type scenario.
And she dated Santana on the show. Yeah, that was, like, later New York season.
Yeah, I don't know who all listens, watched that far, but Demi is a queen, and you know who else is a queen?
Oh, shall I tell the crowd?
I think it's to inform the crowd and roll the credits.
Yes, here we go. Our guest today is a Tony-nominated actress and a true Broadway legacy, having been backstage in The Great White Way since she was a little kid. After making her legendary Broadway debut as Marta Bessel in Spring Awakening as a teenager, she's gone on to play Elphaba in Wicked on Tour. In Australia and right here on Broadway, fans will also recognize her from the recent revival of Tick, Tick, Boom and also the Threepenny Opera, Sundown Yellow Moon at Second Stage, just before bringing the iconic role of Sandy Cheeks to life in the celebrated Gone Too Soon.
Absolutely, Gone Too Soon.
SpongeBob SquarePants, the Broadway musical. She was most recently nominated for a Tony Award, yes, God, for her comedic and stunning portrayal of Julie Nichols in Tootsie, and is soon to be seen in the Encores production of Mac and Mabel. Please welcome to Drama, Lily Cooper.
Yes, y'all. You really got like all of my credits.
We did the research.
You really dug deep.
Did we miss anything? One.
No, I don't think so.
No?
We skipped the part where you like left the industry for a minute.
Yeah.
And went to college.
Yeah, I went to college. I stepped away for 4 years.
Was that like a hard decision to make?
No, I knew I always wanted to go to school.
Okay.
It was right after Spring Awakening, which was a jarring shift, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to just take a little break. It was pretty extreme for a, you know, a 16-year-old to be in a Broadway show and do high school at the same time. So I wanted to be like, I'm going to go upstate and study things.
You went to, was it Vassar?
Vassar, yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
And okay, so Spring Awakening, you know, we've, it's much documented on this podcast how much we love it. And
yeah, we had on Krista Rodriguez.
Krista and Matt Doyle.
Matt Doyle.
Mark.
And so we've heard a lot about like the antics of what Matt called Eugene O'Neill High and everything. But
yeah.
So it was such a hit. And then you go to college. Were your classmates fans of Spring Awakening?
Yeah, you know, it was very, it was really strange. Like, I remember there were, so like every dorm sort of had, we, some dorms had like themes, and there was one because you had, you know, a TA or whatever who was a year above you who was your like guide, and they would sometimes theme your halls. And in one of the other dorms that I didn't live in, thankfully, it was Broadway themed, and there was like one dorm that like had all this like Spring Awakening paraphernalia up, and I was like, it was so strange because I guess there was some sort of like faux somewhat celebrity concept of me,
sure,
but I didn't really want to accentuate that. I wasn't even studying theater in school. So I think it was this sort of unspoken thing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't really want to like talk about it because I just wanted to be like a normal kid. So yeah, there were weird moments.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
What did you study?
I studied film.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, film production, like behind the scenes.
That's really neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I studied screenwriting. I wrote a screenplay for my senior thesis.
Oh.
I studied abroad in Prague for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was the coolest thing
ever. So you really did get to have like the college experience.
I did, yeah, fully.
Because didn't you also go to LaGuardia High School?
I did. I went to LaGuardia High School. Yeah, the FAME High School.
Okay.
So that was like more of a conservatory style. So I didn't want to go to a conservatory for college.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'd sort of already gotten a taste of that. And yeah, I wanted to go to like a liberal arts school where I could sort of take any class that I wanted.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
I respect that you like were like, yeah, I made my Broadway debut and now I'm going to get a degree. And
yeah.
Everything. That's really cool.
Yeah, Remy Zakin and I did the same thing. We both left Spring Awakening at the same time. She went to Columbia. I went to Vassar. And we were like, let's go be collegiate. And, you know, then we came back to the city and here we are.
What was the first thing you did right when you got back?
You know, fun story. The first thing I did was a fringe show called Independence.
That's the name of our
hometown. That's the name of our hometown.
Really?
Yeah. Shout out.
It's independent plural, like TS.
Oh.
About a bunch of kids on a boat. It was awesome. It was a really cool, fun experience. But I did it with Ethan Slater because Ethan and I actually went to college together.
Oh,
so
yes.
Ethan and I have been in three shows together, a play in college. We did a fringe show together, and then we did SpongeBob.
Oh my
so
god!
We have a lot of history. I love him.
I love that. Oh,
yeah,
he's amazing.
No, it's really cool. Yeah.
I feel like he came out of nowhere, and so that's like when you ended up in SpongeBob with him.
Yeah.
Was he always attached, or were you always attached?
He had been attached from day one, I believe, from like the first workshop, and then I knew about it when we were going to school together because he was doing it while he was, I think, a sophomore, or junior, or something.
Oh wow!
Oh my god!
And I was a few years older than him, and then they did a lot of workshops before I was a part of it. But then when I got an audition, I was so excited because I got to audition with him in the room. So, and, you know.
Oh, that's like so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's just the best.
Yeah, he's the best. I love him.
He really is. Yeah, I'm excited.
He's doing Assassins.
I'm excited.
I'm so proud of him.
Oh, I need to get tickets.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be like.
Oh, it's going to be a big deal. My brother's doing it too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, there hasn't been a press release yet, so I'm not sure. As of recording this, there hasn't been a press release.
Okay.
So.
We can always edit this out.
Double check.
We'll double check.
By the time this gets released.
And there's also, isn't Wesley Taylor doing it too?
Yeah,
there's
Taylor's
like some SpongeBob,
yeah, SpongeBob
connections
alum.
There.
Mm-hmm.
I do have so many questions about SpongeBob and lots of other things. But first, I need to ask you a pivotal question.
Yes.
Are you well?
Oh, I'm great.
I love it. You seem
I'm
great.
I'm really good. Yeah. I just closed a show, which is always sad.
Yeah.
Tootsie closed again too soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
Yeah, kind of shocking. It's just like, I think it's just sort of the climate of Broadway nowadays. It's really hard to keep shows open. It's super expensive. It's hard to get people to buy expensive tickets, you know.
A lot of people say that maybe it's that theater.
I know it's like, gigantic.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's too big. It's too big. It's so many people to fill in, and unless you're, you know, a big blockbuster hit, it's hard to do that. And so it was just financially not feasible for us to stay open, and unfortunately we had to close, and that was very sad.
It is sad. We saw the first preview.
You did?
Yes.
Oh gosh.
We did.
Did you come back after at all?
No, we did not get the chance to come back. We tried like during Tony's.
Well, I
season.
Mean, I'm sure it was great still. First preview.
We loved it. We laughed our asses off.
Thanks.
Hysterical.
I'm glad. So many things had changed, obviously.
Okay.
That's what happens in previews.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think it definitely got better over time.
Yeah.
I feel like there was an onstage mishap.
Oh, very
possible. Oh, yes. Santino had, there was something wasn't fully on, like a part of the dress or a garment or something. But John Arthur Green fixed it on stage.
Oh,
it was.
I think I
it was like
that.
A magic moment of theater that was.
We've had a lot of mishaps.
I mean,
it was a very technically complicated show. Surprisingly enough, with costumes.
I loved like your apartment set. Like that was like I wanted to like live there.
Me too.
Like it was like truly like. How did Julie afford that?
I was like, I don't know how Julie afforded that. She must have some family money. Well, girl, damn, that apartment was sick. She was booked. She worked.
Yeah.
She was booked and blessed. Yeah. She worked a lot. Yeah, for sure.
I have to tell you, we are obsessed with your ballad from that show.
Oh, thanks.
There Was John.
That's my favorite song.
It's so good.
It's honestly my favorite song I think I've ever sung.
Oh, my God.
So honest and real, and it just feels like so close to home because it's about like the struggle of acting and what you sacrifice and relationships and all those things, and it just feels so honest, and I loved just stepping into that part and the way it fit in my voice, and it just was really fun to sing, so I loved it too.
So was it written by the time you got
on board? It was totally written before I joined.
So when you heard it for the first time, what was like your reaction?
It was, you know, it's a very sort of it's not a very standard song.
Agree.
In the way it's written. It's very challenging. Like the range of it's really challenging. The scansion of it's really challenging. So I remember learning it and just being sort of flummoxed on how to sing it. And so, you know, it took a lot of practice and singing it over and over and over again. But once I sort of got the rhythm of it, it felt like it just was like, it fit like a glove for
me.
Yeah.
It was honestly like the standout song from when I saw the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know,
We listen to it all the time.
All the time. It's so good.
Yeah, it sort of feels like my anthem. Like, I love it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's sad, but realistic.
Yeah.
And
it's like honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's pretty grown.
Can write a tune. She's pretty grown.
Julie's grown.
David Yazbek can write a tune.
That part of the end when she's like, and now where's John? I think Portland, Maine, or maybe it's Oregon. Like that whole, like it's just like, oh, like
it gets me.
That's that true thing of like,
you
sing when you can't speak, and like she's, it's sort of, oh my God.
I know.
People who haven't heard it need to listen now.
Yeah, and it's one of the most, I think, like truthful, honest, beautifully written songs in the show, I think, personally. Oh,
and you brought it to life in such a great way.
Thank you.
But you also brought to life The Dark I Know Well.
Wow, back in the day.
Way back in the
sure
day.
Did.
As a young girl.
As a wee lad. I think I was 15 the first time I sang it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. When I was 15.
I know. I think that's when we saw the show on Broadway. We like saw it on
the front row.
We saw you like your final month.
Oh, wow.
It was like Kyle Riabko was in it. And right before
Blake
he went
Bashoff.
To the tour and Blake Bashoff, it was like Lee and John left.
Blake Bashoff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah,
these
lane.
Are like memory lane, truly. I mean, like these are genuinely people I haven't seen since that show closed.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
A lot of us stay in touch. A lot of the original cast stays in touch too.
Like Remy and.
Yeah, I actually had dinner with Remy and Lauren and Phoebe just a few nights ago.
Oh, I love that. Doesn't Lauren go by a new stage name?
Lolo.
Yeah. Which we discovered that was her stage name when we were watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Oh, she had a song on it. Yeah.
God. And we were like, wait, we know this voice.
Yeah.
She kind of has like that.
You know what I mean? She has such a specific voice. It's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you watch The Bachelor?
No, but you know what I do watch? I watched Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh,
just
yes.
Recently, like this most recent season. So I don't know any of the people. Like, I don't have any emotional connection to any of these people.
Yeah.
But I think that was what was so fun about just stepping into watching
Bachelor in Paradise. What made you want
to watch it? Because a lot of the other girls in Tootsie were watching it.
Okay.
And so we started watching it together. Like on Saturday in between shows, we'd like go into my dressing room and watch Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, that's fun.
Reality shows are definitely a guilty pleasure of mine. Like I watch almost all of the Housewives, and I think that the reason that I love it so much is because I just love watching crazy people in their like natural habitats. I think it's so entertaining to witness, and I honestly think it's like almost a character study. Like I think there's a part of me like as an actor that looks at these shows and just imagining what their lives are like. It's just fun.
Oh, it's so fun. I'm trying to remember like some of the standouts from that this summer. I mean, there was the whole Demi storyline with
her
girlfriend.
Which like was great. Good for you, Bachelor, like putting this, you know.
Connor and I have talked about that. You would never see a gay male couple on that kind of a show.
No, never.
I don't think so.
No, you would only see like sexy blonde lesbian couples.
Yes, exactly.
Because like, yes, of course it was like progressive and wonderful, but it was also so unnecessary and random.
I know, and they broke up.
It broke all the rules in the show.
It broke all the rules in the show.
Demi should have left with her.
Absolutely. Why did they stay there? It didn't make any sense.
Nonsense.
It was, and they just kept giving roses to each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it just made no sense.
Because the stakes were not high at all. No. I don't know if we want to stick around, but it's like, well, of course
you're on the beach. Like, like, right. It doesn't, of course they want to stick around. Yes. They're just on the beach, like, drinking for free.
Exactly. Yeah. Dean and Kaylin are still together.
No way.
Yeah, they're still together.
Are they living in a truck somewhere?
I believe so.
Oh my
gosh. I'm like, who? But now
wait,
I remember.
Wait, do you watch Vanderpump Rules?
No, I can't stand those people.
I was going to say,
that's next level.
That's watching people in their natural habitat. Truly. That is like, what planet what? Is this?
I know. And it's almost like, ugh, I'm sad at the state of our earth with like humans that are this gross.
It's wild.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I think because they're like just so like money, fame hungry, I can't stand it.
Yeah. And now they're at a point where, because the show is like, they were supposed to be working in this restaurant. And yeah, now one of them is at the restaurant.
Right. And so now you're just watching. Why do you even call it Vanderpump? It's like completely unrelated to this woman and this restaurant. Yeah. It's sort of, what was that? What was it? The Hills?
The Hills.
It's that very, sort of very OG Hills. Yes. The Hills.
Wow. Yeah.
Right?
Reference. Lauren Conrad.
Yes. What a throwback. Because that was the first sort of reality show of these, I don't know, 20-somethings where you're like, why do I care about these people?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're just sort of wealthy people in LA for no reason.
Remember how the girls from The Hills hosted Legally Blonde, the musical, live on MTV?
Whoa.
They That's hosted weird. This special for it, like, when it
I
aired.
I remember when it was...
Was that
when
the same
aired,
season as Spring Awakening and Legally Blonde?
No, I want to say Legally Blonde was a little bit after Spring Awakening, but I could be wrong. I actually never saw it, which makes sense because I could have been away at school.
Oh, true. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's sort of how I
That's so funny
time.
To think about. Like, have you been able to see anything in the last year?
I've seen quite a few things. I saw Ain't Too Proud.
Oh, yes.
Ugh, which I adored. Everybody in that show is remarkable.
You're great.
I saw Beetlejuice. Yes.
Which is fun.
Really fun. Leslie Kritzer is everything. She truly is everything.
Yeah, what a standout performance.
Truly. She was phenomenal.
I thought she was going to be nominated up against you as well. Yeah.
I think it was a surprise. Yeah, the nominations were interesting this year because we had a lot of double show nominations.
Yes.
And categories were interesting too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the both of the featured categories.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a couple extra Ain't Too Proud guys in there. And everyone was deserving.
That's the thing. It's just, it sort of depends on what other shows you're up against that year. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, can we talk about the experience of being nominated for a Tony?
Absolutely.
Ah. Because your father,
I will
Chuck
never
Cooper,
stop talking about it because it was crazy.
Yeah, and that, you've got that forever. You know?
No, they can't take it away from me. They can't be like, you are revoked. They can't do that. I will forever be a Tony nominee, which is so cool.
Because your dad is a Tony winner.
He's a Tony winner. I'm a Tony loser. He's a Tony winner. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being a Tony loser.
There's only so many of those.
Being a Tony loser is way better than being a Tony nothing.
Yeah, honestly.
And that makes me happy.
Yeah, honestly. Because so when you were a little kid when he...
Yeah, I was 7 years old when he won his Tony. For the life. I definitely knew like how big that was. Mm-hmm. I knew how big of a deal that was when I was 7. Because I grew up backstage all the time.
Yeah.
My dad has been in 16 Broadway shows or something crazy.
Oh wow.
So the Tonys were always something that, you know, I looked up to and wanted and aspired to. So this was it came as a big surprise. I was not expecting it. And I think particularly because, so the category thing is really interesting. The way that it works is if you're not above the title, you have to be determined whether or not you're in the lead category.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And for the most part, above the title is sort of like it happens now, but it's sort of an older tradition. It doesn't really happen for people
like
that
aren't Patti LuPone.
Yeah, Patti would be above the title. Like Kelly O'Hara would be above the title. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't determined to be a lead in the show. And I thought that maybe that sort of took me out of the pool because I knew Sarah would get nominated. I mean, she's brilliant and flawless and has that. Exactly. She was just so deserving of it. And I didn't think it was possible for me to also. So I really sort of put it aside and was like, all right, this isn't going to happen this year. It's okay. I wasn't really expecting it. And so I completely slept through the broadcast that morning. I set my alarm for after.
Okay.
And I remember rolling over and like waking up and realizing that it was probably after the time of the broadcast, and like I didn't have any texts or phone calls or anything that would have woken me up.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, yeah, it obviously didn't happen, and I prepared myself for it. And then I rolled over and looked at my phone and realized that my phone was on silent and I had like 90 text messages.
Probably just tripled throughout the day too.
So imagine rolling over and looking at your phone and just being like, wait, what's happening? I don't think I would be getting this many condolence text messages. You know what I mean?
That's tricky.
So my mom calls, and she was the first one to tell me, which was really great.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's so special. Mm-hmm.
It was. The funny thing was, my boyfriend was on the West Coast.
Okay.
And so it was 5 a.m. for him. And God, he's the sweetest. He woke up at 5 in the morning. He set his alarm for 5 in the morning to watch the broadcast. And so he watched it happen.
Like streaming online.
Yeah, streaming online, like streaming on his phone. He was like crashing with friends. So he was like under the covers, like all quiet watching. And he called me 12 times or something, but I never woke up because my phone was on silent.
Oh, how cute that he
but
did
I just thought
that.
It was like the cutest thing ever.
Yeah. That's better than sitting there and waiting.
Yeah,
waiting,
exactly. And, like, I couldn't imagine.
And especially with being Cooper, like it'd be first or second. Oh, yeah.
I never realized that it was alphabetical. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when my name was called first, it was very shocking.
Oh
yeah.
Well, you were very deserving. I mean,
thank you so much.
I know, for real. So
thank you.
And your gown at the Tony.
Yes, girl.
The whole look, the hair, everything it was brilliant, because you also went to the Tonys obviously for Spring Awakening and for mm-hmm. SpongeBob, and probably many other times throughout there.
I think those are the three times I've been to the Tonys.
Okay.
And this is the first time that I got to walk the red carpet. I got like a designer to create not create a dress for me, but it was really customized for me. Zach Posen, who so awesome to work with. And I just got this fierce, amazing, beautiful, like navy blue mermaid thing that just was, I felt like so special. And one of my dear, dear friends, Rob, did my hair and makeup. And so we just sort of like hung out in my house and like kikied for several hours before the Tonys. Like,
did you have a performance
that day?
He braided
my hair. And no, it was our day.
God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would be exhausting.
Luckily,
otherwise.
And I wasn't in the Tony broadcast performance either, so I really just got to experience the whole Tony Awards as a nominee, which I think was kind of the best way to go.
Oh,
I wasn't stressed out about like getting backstage and changing into my costume and blah blah blah.
I would be so stressed if that was my scenario.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God, I panic about time.
I know.
I'm such a Virgo though. So.
I was thinking about that though. Like, I was like, I couldn't have done my fierce like mermaid hair braid if I had to get into a wig and then out of a wig, you know?
So, did you wear a wig in Tootsie?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I had a few wigs.
We're obsessed with wigs.
Really?
Oh, we just think that they're just so glamorous. And wild
and it's fun to watch.
Wigs
I don't
are
know
fun.
It's so fun.
I think
it's
fun.
I don't know how old I was when I realized that if you're watching a movie, most of the time women are in wig, like especially on stage, but like Nicole Kidman is always wearing a wig,
a lace front wig.
So it's I guess she always wears she's done this forever, so that if they ever have to go back and do reshoots or anything like that, it's easy to just slip back in.
That makes a lot of sense. I always thought that movies were less likely to be wearing wigs. But
I know. I guess she even wears wigs on red carpets and everything.
Fierce.
I know.
I love She's it nice. So much.
Wigs should be normalized.
Absolutely.
We should all be wearing wigs.
Absolutely.
Let's normalize wigs.
Yes. Let's start a revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's time to ask the question.
Let's ask this question.
Yeah.
Okay. So we like to ask
question.
All of our guests.
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
About, you know, you mentioned you were 7 years old when your dad won a Tony.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so thinking all the way back to that time, perhaps it's a different answer. But we like to ask our guests about their Ring of Keys moment, which is inspired by Fun Home, when young Allison sees a woman walk into this luncheonette and she realizes, oh my gosh, that's me. And we like to maybe compare that to a life in the arts.
Yeah.
If maybe you had a moment where you thought, you know what? That has to be in my life forever and ever.
100%. I've had so many of those moments, luckily, because I've just been so immersed in it from such a young age.
You lived in New York your whole life?
My whole life. I was born and raised in New York, in Hell's Kitchen in Midtown. So, like, Times Square was my backyard. Broadway was my backyard. And my mom raised me on cast albums, raised me on jazz, on Ella Fitzgerald. And I was just so, you know, I soaked it all in. And I will always and forever say that Audra is my number one, like my forever inspiration, my voice that I hear, you know, constantly, and that I have admired so much forever. But I never got to see her live really until I was a little bit older.
Okay.
So, you know, one thing that really pops into my mind is the Brandy and Whitney Cinderella.
Oh my.
Legendary.
Right? It's the first time we've talked
about
it on
here. Truly legendary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what was so unbelievable, especially at the time, I want to say maybe like 96, 97,
yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds right.
The multicultural family that was represented in that show, the Asian son, the black mom, the white dad, the stepsisters being like polar opposite. It was so sort of foreign to me, like seeing this. I mean, in my family, I'm biracial. My mom's white. My dad's black. I think my family was sort of the outlier.
Okay.
You know, not the norm necessarily. And so being able to see this like multicultural family in this film, but in this classical story and music, and you know, represented in such a magical, fantastical way. It was so inspiring and so memorable. I will watch that movie like all day, every day.
It's unbelievable.
Forever. I had the VHS in, like, you know those VHS, I don't know if you guys are even old enough.
Oh yeah.
The covers that were like cushy, covers, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had one of those. I would always sing it. It was my first sort of exposure to Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Yes.
And it, you know, it was just so iconic.
That is such a good
answer. And these two black women leads, mm-hmm. like, are you kidding me? It was incredible.
Yeah. I believe Whitney was also a producer on that movie too.
Yeah,
which, so cool. Like, and that was the we could probably edit this out because I'm forgetting it, but the guys who produced Smash and did a lot of the live musical.
Neil and Craig.
Yes.
They, kind of like Craig Zayden, Neil Maris.
They produced that as well. And Whitney was like instrumental in it even happening in the first place.
So
and
cool.
And I think she also, this could be wrong, but I think she was instrumental in getting Brandy in it.
Wow.
She really thought of Brandy as this just incredible vocalist and knew the potential she had and, you know, iconic.
Them singing so Impossible. Good.
Ah, Impossible, legendary. Bernadette, legendary.
Bernadette.
B.N. Cox, legendary.
B.N. Cox.
Richard Garber, legendary. Like, are you kidding
Whoopi. Bernadette Peters was iconic.
And Jason Alexander.
Oh, yes.
That cast. That bring them back together. They should do a reunion.
Oh, yes.
They should.
With everything else that's like reviving or like coming back together. And they could do it in tribute of Whitney. Oh, my God. It would be so good. It would be so good.
That would be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer.
Let's play Cinderella.
I know, right? There you go. That Bernadette sang, I Fell in Love with Love. Isn't that not in Cinderella?
It's not her song.
It's not her song? Okay.
Yeah. Traditionally, I don't think.
They inserted it. It was from a different Rodgers and... I think it was actually from a Rodgers
and Hart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I believe. Actually, yeah, that's very true. Mm-hmm. They inserted it. It was a different Rodgers and Hart song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization is sort of the umbrella of all of Rodgers.
Okay.
Material. And so I think they were able to get that.
There improved. Was... they also had televised a Julie Andrews version of Cinderella way, way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And I don't believe there's any recording of it or anything, but it like millions of people watched it. It was very of the time. I just think it would have been amazing to see Julie Andrews in that too. But
that would have been epic.
So you mentioned Ella Fitzgerald though.
Uh-huh.
I can see, like, you know, with all these bio musicals.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
And incredible. You have that, you have jazz in your, oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
I think like, it was such a vocal influence for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really listened to it so much growing up.
That's so cool.
I think that really is part of my voice too.
So with your dad being a Broadway star,
mm-hmm.
would you go and see the show? Like, what was the first show you remember seeing?
The first show I remember really is The Life, which is funny because I was 6 and 7 when that happened, and the show is very dark.
Yes.
It's about, you know, New York in the 80s, Times Square particularly, 42nd Street in the 80s, and about, you know, women who live the life, which is, you know, prostitutes.
Yeah.
Hookers.
And you're like,
no longer really the PC term.
Right, yes.
Sex workers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's actually, I think, a great story, and the music is amazing, and it should absolutely be revived, updated, and revived.
Yeah.
My dad played a pimp, big old scary pimp, who really beat the crap out of women. So it was it was wild because I would walk out of the stage door with him after the show and people would be frightened of him.
Mm, yes.
And my dad's just like a big old teddy bear, like everybody loves
Aww.
Him. But he was obviously incredible in this part and was so scary to people that they were actually scared of him outside of the theater, which I always thought was funny.
And Lilias White.
Lilias White, who's like my second mama. She's awesome.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love her. She's watched me grow up. She knew me since I was 6. I think my favorite story from The Life is that as like a little 7-year-old walking around backstage, all of the hookers would teach me like stage combat. So they would teach me how to like fake hit my head against the wall and like fall like all of these ridiculous things for a 7-year-old to know.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I remember like looking up to these beautiful women who were all different shapes and sizes, all different colors. Mm-hmm. And just admiring it so much and wanting to be in that world. And so I really got a head start pretty early.
Is that so cool?
I didn't really perform back then, but okay. I started out as a dancer. But I always knew that that's what I wanted to do.
I love it.
That's mm-hmm. so special.
So then, so did you start taking classes or performing leading up to your time at LaGuardia High School?
Yeah, so I think my transition to LaGuardia was actually came somewhat as a surprise to my parents, because I was so incredibly shy as a kid, and I didn't really like to perform or speak publicly or sing where anybody could hear me. And so I, sure. I was a dancer, and I think I sort of like hid in the background as a dancer, and I was never really the right body type for it. And so I loved it so much, but it wasn't something that I thought that I could really pursue professionally. And I remember in junior high, I think this is like my transformative moment in life, in junior high, in seventh grade, I got really badly cyberbullied.
Oh,
and
my, no.
It was my choice to transfer middle schools because it was just a terrible experience for me. Mm. And so I decided to transfer middle schools from a very academic, rigorous academic school to professional performing arts school.
Okay.
And so I went there for eighth grade. And when I told my parents, they were sort of surprised that I even wanted to do that. And so I went to eighth grade at PPIS and, you know, just sort of was around all of these people that were like me. And it was like, oh, I feel like this is home. I didn't know what this felt like to be Aww. Around theater people. This Aww. Is awesome.
They're the best.
Yeah. There really are the best. Sarah Hyland and I were in school together.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that was my moment of realization of like, oh, yeah, this is it. This fits. This works. And so my two older brothers went to LaGuardia. And so I decided to apply to LaGuardia. And I went to LaGuardia for high school. And that's really when I got, you know, full force thrown into yeah. the biz.
So was it like in the morning you would do like your academic courses? Yeah. I'm trying to remember Fame.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. So yeah. I think that's still how it works. So like the underclassmen, freshman and sophomore would have your arts classes in the morning and then all your academics in the afternoon after lunch.
Okay.
And then vice versa for the upperclassmen. Oh. So yeah.
Was it hard?
It was super hard.
Yeah, because
I can imagine.
I don't know. It was hard, but it was also like, I remember like thinking back to high school, I loved high school. Like not a lot of people loved their high school experience, but I truly loved it because we just got to have so much fun and
That's
we were
so
just like
cool.
with our friends and we were learning about the things that we loved. And academics were always important to me. And we luckily had great opportunities for academics at LaGuardia. But it was really cool to be able to do both. In my mind, I was like, how could you go to school all day
oh, yeah.
and not
Honestly,
do
I
fun
don't know.
Things?
I know. How did we survive?
How
I
did
don't
you
know.
Survive? How
I
did you do it?
Not
you
know.
Just like took science all day? Like, I don't get it.
Sometimes two periods in a row.
Yeah, no, that's mm-hmm. the worst. That's
For like
terrible.
A lab and everything.
No,
yeah.
unacceptable.
I'm thinking about you as like a 12, 13, 14 year old who mm-hmm. had the agency to be like, you know what? I'm being bullied. This
yeah.
is not what I want for myself.
Right.
Here's a change I can make. That's badass.
Yeah, looking back, I'm like really proud of the decisions that I made and
yeah.
thinking like those were really life-changing moments in my life, because if I hadn't gone to that school, I would never have gone to Spring Awakening.
Hmm.
I would never have
yeah.
gone to Vassar. Like all of these things that sort of lined up all because of the decision that I made as a 12-year-old to transfer schools because I was unhappy.
Yeah.
And part of me, you know, is grateful that it happened, because if it hadn't, I wouldn't have had these sort of transformative moments in my life. So I thank those bitches.
I know.
Mean Girls. Mean Girls
and
is a real thing.
So this was like probably like MySpace era.
100%.
Okay.
MySpace
wow.
was toxic.
So it was actually pre-MySpace. It was Zenga. Do you
oh
guys
yeah,
remember
I remember Zenga.
Zenga?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Zenga, where you could like sort of theme your pages.
Yes.
And there was this like fake page made about me and one of my friends.
Oh my God.
About how like we were lesbians and I was ghetto and like all of these things, which
oh
were
my.
Like insidiously very homophobic and racist.
Yes.
And those, it was so dark. And
this is happening in New York City, which
New
is
York
like
City.
Viewed as like this like liberal mecca.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I knew it was such a toxic environment that I couldn't be around. And so I remember being like, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm transferring. I'm just not going to show up next year. And so I didn't.
Drama. Mm-hmm. That's drama.
Talk about drama.
Disappearing act.
I knew I wanted to be like known
yeah.
as the girl who disappeared.
And yes. then all of a sudden you like making your Broadway debut a couple years
right.
later. And they're like at the stage door.
Literally a couple years later. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I was like, that shows you. Where are you?
Good for you for turning something so awful into something so powerful and like owning it. And I think that people can learn from that. That if you're in an unhappy situation, you have the agency to change it.
The agency and the power to change it.
I want to talk about SpongeBob.
Okay.
I love SpongeBob.
Me too.
We went and saw it twice.
We saw it actually. My boyfriend, I think his mom got us a gift. The three of us went the Tuesday that you all got the Tony nominations came out.
Oh my God.
It was the most electric
audience. I bet.
And we were like kind of like a little bit off to the side in the orchestra. So we were like right up close, kind of behind the guy who was doing all the
Foley.
What's it called? The Foley artist. Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about like immersive in a way, but like you slayed.
Thanks.
And like, cause you knew it's this like well-known entity.
Yeah.
But like you reinvented Sandy and like everyone reinvented these characters in the most powerful way. I mean, it was, oh my goodness.
We like to go into a show cold too, like not hearing any of the music or anything.
Yeah. That's the way to go. I think.
Unbelievable. I think they nailed it.
It all has to do. I mean, it's obviously a collaboration with so many people, but Tina Landau is just legendary and has a mind that you can't even grasp the scope that she can envision. It's so magical. It's really amazing. And I think one of the biggest skills that directors can have is putting the right people together. And I think that was one of the things that helped create the show, was having this wackadoo group of kooks in a room together, creating just the weirdest things possible. And that's what we did. It's like we were in rehearsal and we would, you know, make weird sounds and machine shapes and like run around. It felt like we were just on a jungle gym with our friends creating this,
doing like acting games from like
100%
college or something.
She you know, is one of the creators of Viewpoints, which is what we used to create the show. And it was so cool learning it from her. She literally wrote the book on Viewpoints.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My boyfriend talks about it all the time because he's an actor and he's in college. Yeah. That's a gag. He's going to love that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So, I mean, first of all, a lady director in the first place.
Oh, yeah. Like, so rad.
She should have won the Tony. Oh, my. But I can't wait to see what she does next. But what is that experience like of having a woman director versus not in the room?
You know, I've had a few women directors, and I think that the female energy obviously is very different than male energy, and being in such a, as a director, being in a male centrified industry, there's, I think sometimes can be an element of wanting to sort of like, you know, prove yourself.
Sure.
And I think that different women sort of inhabit that in different ways, and some more successfully than others. But the way that Tina can sort of have control of her room is kind. It's warm and welcoming. It is just this vibrant experience of fueling ideas. And she's one of my favorite directors I've ever worked
with. Sounds like a dream.
Truly.
I know.
Yeah, it really was.
Were you a SpongeBob fan?
I was a total SpongeBob fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think I had watched it since I guess junior high, maybe.
Yeah.
I think.
We all did, right?
We all did, good. And going back to speaking of Zanga, I had a SpongeBob themed Zanga.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's full circle.
Free MySpace. Like my wallpaper was SpongeBob, was like pineapples or something.
Oh, I love that. It's cool too, because it has truly like remained part of the zeitgeist through the years, because it's become like memes and everything.
Oh yeah, SpongeBob memes everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I mean, you'll go to CVS and see like a little plush SpongeBob. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Band-Aids.
They're everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere.
And the musical, I think, had the potential to be something that was kind of silly, or like something like you'd see at Universal Studios, which is fun, but like not what people would consider to be artistic in a way.
Yeah.
But SpongeBob was everything to so many people. And I mean, I'm so thankful that it came to New York and has lived this life now. I mean, it was just...
And the social messaging, it was so of...
I know, the thing is, it was way deeper than people had ever expected it to be, you know. We touched on so many different things, like xenophobia and global warming and all of these really sort of deep dark subjects that you would never expect a Nickelodeon cartoon musical to attack, and we did, like, full force.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure people said that to you a lot. They were like, oh my God, it was so much, had so much more depth than mm-hmm. I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part to do each night of the show?
My favorite part was definitely the the end when we all held hands and counted down and the mm-hmm. and the bubbles would fall from the ceiling, yeah. and it was just like so magical, and you would hear little kids in the audience like, ooh,
oh, nah. This was probably really a lot special. Of people's first Broadway show.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love Hero is my middle name.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper.
That's great.
Yes.
How cool is it? You guys got to sing a Cyndi Lauper song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my God, so fun. Everything was fun in that show. Like, it was awesome. not a single dud at all.
No.
And that's another thing too. It's like, it's this eclectic group of songwriters. You never know how it's going to go.
Right. That's Tom Kitz doing. He's brilliant. He tied all of the different genres and artists in together to make this, like, you know, musical that worked very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, wait. So on this podcast, we also like to talk about love and life in New York City. Yes. You mentioned your boyfriend earlier.
Yeah.
What's the tea? Who is this man?
This man. Oh, he's the best
man. We see him on social media. And
follow me on Instagram. You'll definitely see him. He's
That's a man, honey.
Yeah, he's a man.
Uh-huh.
His name is Paul. He's from Ireland.
Is that a clatter ring?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, wait,
gave me a clatter ring.
I noticed the clatter ring and I was like, because you know, we're some Irish boys. So
I could tell. He's a ginger also.
Yes.
He's born and raised in Dublin. We met 5 years ago. Wow. It's crazy.
The last 5 years.
Definitely my longest relationship. We were in a long distance relationship. Sorry, I keep making terrible noises.
It's awful
on this podcast. We were in a long distance relationship, Dublin to New York, for like 8 months or something. It was crazy, really hard.
Yeah.
We met in New York and we had this, you know, sort of whirlwind romance where we decided to be together.
Yeah.
Who does that? It was crazy. And 8 months later, he moved in with me and my mother.
Oh.
Who does that?
Oh. He's a good
man. It's like such a challenge. We got through it. We have our own apartment now. We have two dogs.
Okay, I know you have a Cocker Spaniel, right?
Yes, we have two.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. What are their names?
Dublin and Cosmo.
Oh, cute. Oh, my God. I love that. And they buddies.
Little babies. Yeah, they play together. They sleep together.
Oh, my God.
It's so cute.
That's so great.
I love the idea of this, like, Irish lover from across the ocean.
It's very romantic.
Yeah.
It's very romantic, the idea of it. It was way harder in person, of course.
I'm sure.
You know, as love tends to be. We've had our wild ups and downs, but I think that and I'm 10 years younger than him, so I was newer sort of to serious long-term relationships, and so like every fight we'd have, I'd be like, we're breaking up, this is awful.
yes
and he'd be like, all right, chill out, calm down. And you know, here we are 5 years later, and we like, you know, want to have kids.
Oh my goodness!
It's great. God.
That's very happy. That's really inspiring. That's
awesome. It is. Yeah. We met online too.
Oh really?
I was going to say
you met in New York. But,
we met on OkCupid.
Nice.
Yes. So I'm in full support of online dating.
Yes.
We should destigmatize online dating.
About normalizing wigs. We also need
normalizing wigs.
There's nothing
and OkCupid.
Wrong with Tinder. Any sort of relationship like that.
No.
My boyfriend and I met on Facebook, and we're going on 4 years. This next month, and long distance. He's in Ohio. So it's,
although, like, watch Catfish so that you can read the signs. That's all I say.
I know. Wait, how are people still getting catfished, though?
I don't know.
Our friend Allison always says that. She's like,
I'm sorry, but people are dumb. There's so many signs. Like, just FaceTime somebody.
Like, my webcam is broken.
Yeah, no.
Like,
that's
okay,
not,
go to the public library. And
oh, my God. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You know what's interesting about dating apps is you had, like, OkCupid, or Match.com, these, like, online profiles.
Sure.
And then things started to change when all of a sudden...
It's apps.
It was apps, and then all of a sudden you had Tinder, and it was a picture, and you said left or right, whatever. But now, like, I'm a Hinge king. Hinge is, like, it's like an OkCupid profile. You have pictures, captions, icebreaker questions, age.
See,
do
like
you
that.
Smoke? Do you not smoke? Do not? And I think it's interesting that we went from, like, having lots of information on...
To no information whatsoever.
To now we want it again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, like, in the age of information or whatever they say we're in, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
But...
I think it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you meet great people. I don't know. Like, it's hard to meet people in real life
sometimes.
It's
hard to meet people in real life. It's hard to develop, like, relationships in real life.
Especially
at least you
actor.
Both know what you want when you're online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
you know, people can meet in real life. I'm not saying like you totally. Should only online date, mm-hmm. but like it, there are success stories. My brother is engaged to his fiance. They met on Bumble.
I love it.
Like, it's great. I'm a huge support of it.
That's just the world that we live in, yeah. and it needs to stop being like
a negative thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's why I love that you're like you're proud of OK Cupid success story.
Paul, my boyfriend, he sort of doesn't like talking about it. And okay. Like, he'll like whenever anybody to our face asks us how we met, I'll always be like, "How did we meet, Paul?"
And does he have like a gorgeous Irish brogue as well? Oh,
thick
my God,
Irish accent. Sometimes I have to translate for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. So have you been able to go over there at all and visit?
Absolutely. I've been several times. Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. Have you made your West End debut?
I haven't. I would love to.
That'll come. I feel like that'll come down the line.
Yeah. Well, Tootsie's supposed to be in London, so I'm trying to pitch myself for it.
Yeah.
Putting it out in the universe.
You do have a Tony nomination.
I do.
So you have that weight to throw around.
The box office draw.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, but you're doing Mac and Mabel next.
I am. Yeah. I'm super excited about it.
So when is that? Like, what's the
It's in February. It's my first Encores show I've ever done. And Encores is supposed to be a really crazy experience because it's, I don't know, 4 weeks or something. And you basically put on Broadway caliber show.
Oh, yeah.
Fully choreographed.
Many things from Encores transfer and stuff. You know? But.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just excited for like this process because it's such a fast paced experience. And I love being sort of thrown into something. I get to have a big tap number, which I'm really excited about.
There we go.
Like I said, I started out as a dancer, but like nobody really knows that. So I think it'll be cool to be like, look what I could do.
Oh, I can't wait. I think we have to get our tickets to that.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with Mac and Mabel.
Jerry Herman, the music is fabulous. Aww. So old school. So, you know, sort of traditional capital M musical.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Who else is in the cast?
Doug Sills is playing Mac. Alexandra Socha is playing Mabel.
Oh, yeah.
Alexandra and I shared the stage back in Spring Awakening.
Yes, absolutely.
Me 12 years ago.
We saw her as Ventla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she replaced Leah Michelle.
That's right.
She closed out the show, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know quite a few ensemble members I'm so excited to work with again.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going
to
be really fun.
I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
So we are sort of reaching the end now. Aww. I know. This
I love
is so
chatting.
Fun. Thank you for
You're
doing
so
this.
Sweet.
You were on our list from the start.
I know. I'm so sorry. It's taken forever for us to arrange it.
Well, you know, you were in a Broadway show.
Yeah.
And
that's a crazy
schedule. Was crazy.
You've been also doing a lot of other things that we can probably talk about off mic.
too, but. Wait, I do have a question about Tootsie before we move into our dose of drama.
Totally.
What's the one thing that sticks out to you the most about that experience? Like now, I know it just closed, but looking back, you were involved with it for several years.
Yeah, up to almost 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you look back, what's the one thing you think about?
I think about the cast. I think I always think about the cast. I miss them so much already. It's only been like 2 weeks. It was I think the coolest thing about it was that it was this group of just utter comedians. And SpongeBob was different because we were like just sort of wacky people who had different skills, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But this was a group of solid comedians. And it was so cool to be a part of that because it humbled you. It was like, oh, I'm not as funny as I think I am. And I want to be funny and I'm going to learn from these people.
Yeah.
And like, when you get to make those people laugh, you're like, oh, this is the best feeling ever. Yeah. So it's very humbling and you know, made sort of wonderful lifelong friends, and I'm going to miss them a lot.
Aw, that's so special.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I'm so glad we got to see it. And
me too. Yeah. I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we like to end on a dramatic note.
That's right.
We like to share the drama in our hearts and our lives. This could be anything you're thinking about. Maybe Demi Lovato's guest starring turn on Will and Grace. It could be, you know, like I've said before, I'm still waiting on the new Rihanna album. Mm-hmm. There are just all these little dramatics of life. Maybe like a date or an audition or something that's on your mind. You know, we always say like maybe a show you're binging, but do you have a dose of drama? Anybody can kick it off. Dylan, do you want to start with a dose of drama?
I do. It just came to me right now is that you know, you mentioned Rihanna, but we're talking about Irish men and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm a Niall Horan stan from One Direction. You know,
I don't.
He's the Irish member of One Direction.
Okay.
And
I wonder
stan,
if Paul knows him.
I don't know.
Maybe like a proud Irish. They're a proud people. And his album is expected this year, and I am like really excited about it. His first album was my kind of thing. It was like acoustic pop with like simple but powerful lyrics.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what comes out next. And
yeah,
I love being Irish and talking about this here is like, I want to go back to Dublin. We went over spring break our sophomore year of college, and I'm going to do it again and
fun.
Experience it and
it's a fun
see our family there and everything.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
That's mine. I Okay, so on a recent episode of this very podcast, I made a statement about the Call Me By Your Name sequel, which they wrote a sequel to the book By Your Name, which also in the film...
Is that the Timothée Chalamet?
Yeah, Timothée Chalamet, who went to LaGuardia.
Who went to LaGuardia, grew up in the same building. I danced with his younger sister. Oh, older sister, sorry.
Oh my God, I'm shaking. He's like one of my biggest celebrity crushes for some reason. I know.
I don't think I've ever actually met him, but I know his sister
and his
mom.
He's just like a cool dude. Just like...
I know. Oh, he's
getting his bagels and things.
Yeah,
he's always like photographed getting bagels in New York, which is like, so funny. Aren't we all?
It's such a New York thing.
They're just like us.
They're just like us. They eat bagels.
But the book, the sequel to Call Me By Your Name is called Find Me. Oh. And I kind of went on a little bit of a rant recently about how I'm quite disappointed in it. And I hadn't finished the book.
Okay.
So I need to sort of retract my statement.
Let the record state.
Record show. Okay, listen. It was still not exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But the writing is beautiful. Mm. I did love the ending. And, you know, I think it just goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover until you've read it cover to cover.
True, true, true.
All right. Yeah, that's true. I loved it.
That's a good statement to live by.
Thank you.
I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name, but I still have the screener from last year, so I think I'm going to watch it. I might watch it today.
Yes.
You should definitely watch
it. I have literally nothing else to do today.
It's like summer in Italy vibes.
Yeah, like, why not? Sounds amazing. Although it's just going to make me want to, like, go to Italy.
Snuggle up with the dogs.
Yeah, my little boo-boos. Okay, I have a drama.
Ooh.
You know, I have a drama that I genuinely like want your guys' opinion on.
Okay.
So, okay. It's award season. Yes, the Grammys are coming up. SAG Awards were just last night, I believe.
Yes,
you know,
they were.
Oscar noms came out. I'm very interested in how all of a sudden, like, this Broadway has changed, right? All of a sudden, when cast albums get nominated for Grammys, like, everybody sort of is a Grammy nominee.
Yeah.
So, okay, I have an issue with this because, y'all, if this is true, I am a Grammy winner.
Yes.
Because Spring Awakening won a Grammy. But, like, a lot of rules have changed, and now apparently the people who are a part of the album can win the physical Grammy, and that wasn't the case however many years ago. I couldn't even get a certificate.
Oh, my God.
But it's so interesting how, like, people are going to parties and stuff and, like, hashtagging Grammy nominee, and I'm like,
I saw Aaron Tveit at the Grammy.
I'm just like, it's so interesting because if you can consider yourself a Grammy nominee, am I allowed to call myself a Grammy winner?
I think you should.
I think you should, because you're a principal soloist on...
All right. Well, then...
It's like Cynthia Erivo is just an Oscar away from the EGOT,
right,
and the Grammy is from the Color Purple...
Yeah,
cast album.
Yes.
And
the Grammy's from the Color Purple cast album, and the Emmy is from the Color Purple performance.
Yes,
which they just revoked that award.
And Ben Platt has the same scenario.
This is controversial.
Ben Platt has the same scenario, don't you think?
I think it's controversial.
Isn't this controversial?
It is.
Because much does it, not to say it doesn't count, of course it counts. Are you kidding? Cynthia Erivo is everything. I saw Color Purple 3 times. She's incredible. It's just like when you say EGOT, it's like, yeah, Whoopi has EGOT because she literally got these awards for different things.
Literally.
Were her. And so I'm just saying that the sort of tradition has changed, and like the climate, this sort of, you know, world around these awards has changed.
Yes, absolutely.
And so it might be somewhat unfair to equate the two. That's just what I'm saying.
I think it is.
We're on the same page.
All right.
I'm with you.
I'm glad you agree with
me. Drama, but it's true.
It's drama. It is drama.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say anybody doesn't deserve it.
Right. Never, never.
I'm just saying, I want to call myself a Grammy winner.
Understandably.
Because you are.
Yeah, I didn't mean I don't have a physical Grammy, but I guess I won one.
I think that's like, if you're like, I think you have to buy it or something like
that. Yeah, you have to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Same thing with Tony's. Like, if you...
Yeah,
like,
wait, they don't just give it to you?
Mm-mm.
No.
The award itself is like $2,000.
Yeah, crazy. And they like ship it a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really crazy. Mm-hmm.
Because they have... So you physically take one home after the Tonys, but then you have to send it back to get engraved.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just a blank Tony that you grab when you're on stage.
Wow. Audra's got a lot of those.
God, she has so many.
Oh my
six?
God.
Six.
I think six.
Legendary.
And counting.
She's a queen.
Y'all, I was sitting like 2 rows away from Audra this last year. The funny thing is like, I love Audra so much. I actually know her personally. Like,
I
was on an episode of The Good Fight with her. And, you know, she's known my dad for years and all this.
Sure,
but no matter what, I'll still look at Audra as Audra.
Yeah. Wait, I love The Good Fight. Which one were you on?
I was on a few episodes in the first, no.
Wait, in the one with, okay, you were a receptionist.
I was a receptionist,
I remember
yeah.
this. That was a crazy
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, where that guy got shot.
He got shot.
It was a crazy episode, yeah. It was nuts.
That was wild.
It was very dramatic, yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah,
that's
drama. The cheese came.
Oh, yeah.
It's very dramatic.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, the acting on the show is great, but also they really switch up format. Every single episode is different. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
Christine Baranski.
Yeah.
Wait, we saw Christine Baranski at Slave Play.
Yeah.
Oh, recently? Slave Play, I know, you guys.
Yes. 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 And we also saw
I'm
Audra
so
at Slave Play.
Was it a limited run?
It just, yeah, but it extended a week.
Oh, okay. I'm so yeah. sad that it
I know.
Closed. I wish it could have stayed so open. Good. I wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
Yes, we had to go back a second time.
Transcendent. Mm-hmm.
It was truly the most unique theater experience I've
yeah.
ever had.
Yeah, yeah,
and
truly.
That cast... It was just remarkable.
Yeah,
so Jeremy O'Harris is brilliant.
I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know, he's great.
So cool.
Slave Play. What was I thinking about Slave Play? I think it's rewarding to see it a second time without spoiling the
right.
You know, everything yeah. about it, but you really not only do you're able to ignore the format.
Yeah.
Or not ignore it, but it's less.
You're sort of like able to see past
mm-hmm.
the smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
Lily.
We love.
You are amazing.
We're further obsessed with you. Thank you for doing this. We will follow you forever. Your career Aww. Has just inspired us for a long time, and you inspire so many people.
Thank you.
And everyone who also loves you and listens should be following you already on Twitter and Instagram, but if you're at Lily Cooper on Twitter.
Yes.
And at Lil Coops with a Z.
With a Z.
With a Z.
Liza
with a Z.
Liza with a Z. Lil Coops with yep. a Z.
And we are at The Drama Podcast.
I'm at Connor McDowell.
And I'm at Dylan McDowell. And I will see you next time, Connor.
Drama.